I'm pulling on my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for another drive to work. Okay, so today's another in my series where I'm trying to talk about every Magic expansion ever. So I'm up to Ravnica Allegiance. So interestingly, I always assumed when I got to the point where I started my podcast that I would have already talked about these episodes, but that is not true. So I have talked about Guilds of Ravnica, and I did do a lessons learned about both Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance. The reason I did them together is the design was done together. But I've not talked about the Ravnica Allegiance as a set alone. So I decided that today I will. So Ravnica Allegiance, codename Meatballs. Guilds of Ravnica was spaghetti, so spaghetti and meatballs. And it came out January 25th, 2019. 259 cards, 111 commons, 80 uncommons, 53 rares, 15 mythics. I led the vision design. The team was me, Jules Robbins, Jackie Lee, Ari Levitch, who did the creative team, Sam Stoddard, who I handed off to, and Brian Hawley. The development or the set design team was led by Sam Stoddard, Eric Lauer, Adam Prozac, Dave Humphreys, Michael Majors, Paul Chion, and Peter Lee. Okay, so I guess I should start by talking about where were we in Magic. So this was our third visit to Ravnica. The first Ravnica, in fact, the very first set or first block I ever led as head designer, or that I was in charge of as head designer, I also led Ravnica Block, was original Ravnica. And that was a full block, large, small, small. I realized that I needed to give each of the guilds time to shine. So the real quick dirty version of original Ravnica was we were going back to doing a multicolor block. It's the first time we'd repeat a theme in a block. The first one was Invasion. Invasion was about playing lots of colors. So I said, how do I make a multicolor set that's as far away from Invasion as possible, but still be multicolor? The answer was two. Like instead of playing lots of colors, play as few colors as you can, but you have to play two, otherwise you're not multicolor. I took that idea, the idea of let's do the 10 two-color pairs to the creative team. Brady Downermuth came up with the idea of the guilds, and we ran with it. In original Ravnica, early playtesting showed that when I put all the guilds in the same set, it just was a little bit overwhelming. So I realized that I wanted to spread them out. So because I had a large, small, small block, I put four in the first set and three in each of the other two sets. Obviously Ravnica was a pretty definitional block. It defined a lot of things that came after it. It was really the start of sort of how we did factioning. It did a lot of things. So when we returned for Return to Ravnica, five years later we returned in Return to Ravnica. So it was Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, Dragon Maze. There, we decided to do things a little bit differently. We realized that small sets, that big sets worked better. And so instead of doing 4-3-3, what if we just did 5-5? And in the final set, we'd be all 10. So we'd revisit everything. So you get to draft 5, then draft another 5, they were disconnected, they weren't drafted together. Then you would draft 10, which I think they all were drafted together, to be a little different. I think the first two sets worked fine. We didn't change a lot. One of the things that we were doing at the time is when we were revisiting things, sometimes we'd make bigger changes. You know, Innistrad went from being Gothic horror to Cosmic horror. Or Zendikar went to be about this war with the Eldrazi. Like, we'd make bigger sweeping changes. But the idea for Ravnica, I was told, no, don't, you know. So pretty much Return to Ravnica was just like we did Ravnica. The biggest change difference, instead of 4-3-3, was 5-5-10. So our third trip, so the interesting thing was, we had planned to do the third trip. So for a long time, Magic's blocks were three sets. Usually a large, and I'm using Northern Hemisphere seasons here. It would be a large fall set, small winter set, small spring set. Eventually, to try to jazz things up, we occasionally started doing large spring sets. Sometimes they were connected, sometimes they weren't mechanically. And then eventually realized that the solution to the third set problem, we always had, the problem we did blocks is the first set would sell 100% basically, second set would sell 80% no matter what we did, and the third set would sell 60%. So whatever the first set established as the 100%, it'd go 80-60. We couldn't seem to change that. If we made the set bigger, meaning if the third set was a large set, we'd increase it by some. We usually did not meet the original fall set, but at least it would go up a little bit. The number of cards would make it go up. So eventually we realized the solution to the third set problem was to stop doing a third set. So we instead of doing large, small, small, or large, small, large, we did large, small. So starting with Battle for Zendikar, it was two-set blocks, and we do two-set blocks a year. A lot of this was modeled after sort of how we did original Lorwyn block. Anyway, at some point, we started to realize that while we no longer had a third-set problem, we now were getting a second-set problem. And ultimately, the solution to the second-set problem was to stop having second sets. Just make every set the first set. That was the solution. And originally, we went from large, small to large, 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 and then the final set of the year was a core set. That was our plan. So the interesting thing about Ravnica Allegiance and Guilds of Ravnica was we had made the decision to change just as we were coming to this set. The weird thing about it was we had planned for it to be two large sets that were drafted apart. Meaning before we got to the decision to change all of Magic to that, we were planning to change Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance to that. So when the last two-set block was Ixalan block, we kind of said, well, this one set was going there anyway. So on some level, Dominaria was the first where we really changed it. Dominaria was going to be a large and small set, and we got rid of the small set. So on some level, technically, we changed it with Guilds of Ravnica, Ravnica Allegiance. I mean, we list them as having vision design because we made that change around there. But it really, it's in a weird place. It was kind of the middle ground where we were already planning to do the thing that we were shifting to do. The other thing that we did, which was a little bit different, is I led the vision design for Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance all together. The idea at the time was, look, we're going to do... Like, faction sets need to interweave with each other, and we want to make sure that everything's playing nicely with everything else. And so we worked on both sets at the same time. I think we had a little extra longer time for vision than we normally did, if I remember correctly. So anyway, we spent a lot of time working on it, and then I believe Eric Lauer ran Guilds of Ravnica, Sam Stoddard ran Ravnica Allegiance. And if I remember correctly, most of the mechanics we came up with, I think Sam changed most of them in set design. So we're going to walk through, are any of them? I think Sam changed all five of them. I don't remember all of what they were in, one or two of them I remember, but so once again, the idea of a Ravnica set is there are 5 2-color guilds. Every color must be represented by 2 colors. Usually we do it so there's a mix of enemy and ally, only because most sets are either ally or enemy, and this gives us a chance to mix them, so we do mix them. So for Ravnica Allegiance, we had 5 guilds. Azorius, blue, white-blue, Rakdos, black-red, Gruul, red-green, Orzhov, white-black, and Simic, green-blue. So we had 3 ally, 2 enemy. Obviously, the other 5 were in the original set. Oh, how did we decide what was in what set? That's a fine question. Like I said, the rules we had is we needed every color represented twice. We needed we wanted ally and enemy to be mixed. And in this time, in previous sets, we wanted to lead with some of the more popular. You know, because the fall set dictated so much, we tended to lead with some of the more popular guilds. This time we did things a little bit differently. So the storyline was the next set after Ravnica Allegiance was War of the Spark. I'm sorry. I had things backwards. Dominaria happened before. Our change to the new system happened in Dominaria, which was before we got to Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance. So the actual change happened before. The weird thing is that we were already planning to change these two sets. So Dominaria did drop to 1 large set, and we turned the other set into the core set. So anyway, my timing was a little off there. But anyway, the set that followed Ravnica Allegiance was War of the Spark. That was our first kind of event capstone set, where we had the giant Nicol Bolas arc that started in Kaladesh and ended in War of the Spark. And it was a big finale. We really wanted to have the finale on Ravnica, but our worry at the time was if we went to Ravnica but didn't give you a guild set, people were like, where's my guild set? So the idea was we would first visit Ravnica in two sets, and then the third set would still be on Ravnica, but not be about the guilds at all. I mean, the guilds showed up, I guess, but would be about this giant event, which is the Planeswalker War, the war between Nicol Bolas and his eternal zombie army and most of the Planeswalkers that you know. That was our big finale. And so the idea here was we were trying to lead into that. So the thing that happened was Nicol Bolas comes and starts infiltrating the guilds. And so the idea was we wanted the first set to be the guilds that were falling quickest to Nicol Bolas. And so I think he took over Izzet, right? He took over Izzet from, because Izzet was so used to following a dragon that he managed to get rid of he didn't kill Niv-Mizzet. Did he kill Niv-Mizzet? He might have killed Niv-Mizzet. Niv-Mizzet came back. But anyway, he got rid of Niv-Mizzet and took over control of the Izzet. And then he slowly had influence on other things. But the idea was the five, the ones he started having influence on, you saw that in the first set, I think is how we worked it. But anyway, we divvied them up. We tried to change them so they were a little bit different. The funny thing is, as it sort of worked its way out, we ended up making Guilds of Ravnica the four guilds that had been in original Ravnica plus Izzet. And Izzet, by the way, for those who don't remember original Ravnica, while there are only four guilds in original Ravnica, we had extra blue and red cards because you need to balance the colors. And so there was loosely this fifth blue-red. So essentially, we kind of repeat. I don't think we meant to do that. I think we just picked who would fall into Boros, and anyway, apparently Boros went after the original Ravnica guilds that were original Ravnica plus Izzet. Okay, so for each one of them, the key to a faction set is you want to do something that's very flavorful for the faction, but you want to make sure that there's overlap between factions. In a two-color faction world, you're looking at the other factions that share your color. Okay, we start with Azorius. So Azorius had a mechanic called Addendum. So Addendum goes on spells, instants and sorceries, I believe it's instant sorceries. I think it's instant sorceries. It goes on instants. And the reason for that is if you cast the spells during the main phase, meaning if you essentially cast them as sorceries, I mean, they're still technically instants, but if you cast them when you can cast a sorcery, you get a bonus effect. I think this was influenced in original Invasion. We had done a cycle of cards like this where they did something. There was no keyword to it. They weren't labeled, but that if you cast them during your main phase, they had a bonus effect. So this addendum is kind of borrowing from that, but putting a name to it. It was an ability word. The idea in general is we like Azorius to be a little more of a controlling guild, and so having them care about spells or non-creatures in particular was helpful. The thing that we had tried for Azorius that I really liked but ended up being too the rules people were like, originally the way it worked was they had this ability. Well, originally the ability was when this creature comes into play, its enter ability is any enter ability on a creature you have in play. So the idea is when I enter, I think they had an enter ability. I think they had an effect. But instead of doing your effect, you can do the effect of any other creature with an enter's effect. Previously an enter the battlefield effect, before that a come into play effect. And so the idea is, let's say I had a creature that said, when you enter, draw a card. When I played my creature, maybe it was when I enter tap target creature, but it was, or you could choose to do what somebody else's thing. That caused a bunch of rule problems. Then we tried a version where it only worked on itself, meaning I could only activate an enter's ability with this mechanic. So every card with this mechanic did something, but you could swap the enter's abilities. That got a little bit too parasitic and it didn't blend well with the other, so that's why we didn't do it, but it was kind of cool. Okay, next we get Rakdos, black red. Rakdos had Spectacle. Spectacle was an alternate cost, and if your opponent had if any opponent had taken damage this turn, you may cast your spectacle creature for its spectacle cost. So the idea is it just wants you to be more aggressive in being doing damage to the opponent. Very Rakdos. We have messed around in other spaces where you do other things when you damage the opponent. But this particular thing was a cost reduction. And I believe the way Spectacle worked, it could go in any card type. The card gets cheaper. I mean, it could go in any card type other than land. It had to have a mana cost. But it could go in any non-land card type. And it did a nice job. One of the things that you like about guild mechanics is when the mechanic makes you, the player, play in the style that... And just being pretty aggressive and damaging the opponent, it felt pretty Rakdos. Okay, next up is Gruul. So Gruul is red-green. Gruul had Riot. So Riot was, it's a mechanic that goes on creatures. It says when this creature enters, you can choose one of two things. You may put a +1/+1 counter on the creature, or you may grant the creature haste. So the idea is, it depends how aggressive you're trying to be. Are you trying to build up, go more mid-range? You're trying to be aggressive, go more attacking? And the point is you could choose with each creature that you want to do. It was a pretty fun mechanic. One of the things that I like a lot about Riot is I like mechanics that make you make a choice, but the choice is a pretty simple choice, meaning in the moment, I like it and it's a cool choice. There's times you have to think it through. Most of the times you have a sense what you want to do. The key to Riot is, if I can't get through, there's no reason to have haste, so I'll get the counter. Usually I get haste if I'm just trying to, like, I'm using haste to my advantage because I'm trying to beat them down. Sometimes you'll grant haste because they left you open and, like, you can just get in now, and maybe sometimes you do that. But I do like the simplicity of it. We'll talk about the interconnectivity between stuff in a second. Next is Orzhov. Orzhov was Afterlife. So Afterlife went on creatures, and it said whenever this creature dies, create a 1/1 white and black spirit token creature with flying. So it makes a little 1/1 flyer. So the creatures, the idea essentially in for Orzhov, for those who don't know, Orzhov has a lot of ghost effects run by the Ghost Council. If you pledge yourself to Orzhov, you are not off the hook when you die. Oh, no. Ghosts exist on Ravnica. You come back as a spirit, and you got to work off. You got to work your dead off as a spirit. And so the idea that they die into little spirits was pretty cool, because the flavor of the afterlife and spirits is pretty big in Orzhov specifically. Now the mechanic for this one was my favorite mechanic in Vision. We called it debt. The way debt worked, I'm trying to remember exactly, is you would get debt counters. I think you could give debt counters to the opponent, or sometimes you would take on debt counters. The way debt worked is, I think it was the end of the turn. At the end of the turn, you could pay, I think it was 2 for every debt counter. It was 1 or 2. And then, if you had any debt counters left, you would take 2 damage, I believe it was. So the idea was, I would pick up debt counters. At the end of the turn, I could remove deck counters by paying 2 per deck counter. But if I had any deck counters, I lose 2 life. And the interesting thing about debt was early in the game, it's like, oh, whatever, I'll just take that, you know, you just kind of like, don't worry about it because you have enough life. But at some point, you're like, oh, I'm watching the clock. Uh-oh, 2 a turn here. This is going to kill me in some amount of time. I better spend some energy in getting out of debt. Or it's like, well, I'm going to die in 6 turns no matter what. I better get aggro and you know, I better race my debt. It was very cool. I like the mechanic a lot. I do keep looking for other places to put it. I actually really do like the mechanic. I admit there's some fiddliness to it. And the reason it wasn't here is it wasn't the best of guild mechanics. I mean, it was very flavorful for the Orzhov. It was hard to, you want to cross the themes, and it's tricky to do that. And so that's why, it is why Afterlife ended up replacing debt. The final mechanic is Simic, green-blue, adapt. So adapt was essentially Monstrosity from original Theros. Monstrosity was an ability where you pay mana, you get some number of +1/+1 counters, and then once you become monstrous, you gain an ability or some of the abilities. Now, the way Monstrosity worked is Monstrosity just tracked whether or not you were monstrous. It did put counters on you as an aid to help remember that you activated it. But if somehow the counters got removed from the creature was still monstrous. So when they were putting together, in set design for the set, I think they were looking for a new civic mechanic, and they realized that monstrosity was close to being a good thing. The word monstrosity wasn't great. I don't think Simic considers its experimentations monstrous to them. And they liked the idea that there was, because there was already some plus one counter synergy going on, the thing they liked is that the moving of counters could let you redo it. So adapt is monstrous with one major change. The way adapt works is I can spend my adapt cost, as long as I don't have counters, I can spend my adapt cost and get the adapt. And then the adapt would give me counters. And I think it gave me an ability while I have my counters is how it worked. So you somehow lost the counters, you lost the ability. So it's very similar to monstrous, but with a key difference in that the counters itself is what grants the ability. So the losing of counters would make you lose the ability. But let's say you move the counter somewhere else, you then can activate it again. That's one of the upsides is, yes, you lose the ability to lose the counters, but you do have the ability to activate it multiple times if you can move the counters. Okay, so the thing here was, like I said, the key is looking at overlap between things. Azorius, so like I said, let's look at the five colors. So white overlapped in Azorius and Orzhov. We have Addendum, where you're trying to get extra value out of your spells. And we have Afterlife, where your creatures die into spirits. Both of which allowed you to play, white likes to play a little bit, can be a little bit more a long game. Both white, blue, and white, black. White, blue likes to control, white, black likes what we call a bleeder deck, meaning that it's much slower play. So we gave white slower mechanics, both Addendum and Afterlife allow you, the nice thing is that creatures are good for a control deck. Flying creatures are a nice win condition. And for a bleeder deck, they're a good way to slowly plink at your opponent. So if we wanted white to sort of play this long game, the two mechanics let white do that. The blue mechanics are Azorius' Addendum and Simic's Adapt. These are both things, once again, that both of these games are playing a little bit longer. Blue traditionally plays the longest game. Although white, black, Orzhov also plays a very long game. So anyway, mostly this is about building up. This is about getting things that over time help me get advantage. Your creatures get to build up over time. So a lot of the ways you win with Simic is that you're slowly building up. Usually you're ramping and making bigger things and getting the mana so that you can make larger creatures. Black was Spectacle and Orzhov. So the idea there was Rakdos tends to have more of a sacrifice strategy, and a lot of times it can sacrifice things to damage the opponent, which is a way to trigger a spectacle. And by having the nice thing about having Afterlife is if you sacrifice, you could sacrifice twice. So in Afterlife was nice. If you're planning to play more control, it can plink away at the opponent. But if you're trying to play a little more of a sacrifice deck, it just gives you two things to sacrifice for every creature. So that is valuable. And we also made a bunch of sacrifice things that help you do damage to the opponent so you could trigger Spectacle. Also, if you were playing if you're getting more aggressive with your Rakdos and sacrificing things, that means that you could get the Spectacle stuff to hit. Okay, we get to red. Red is Spectacle and, what's that? And Gruul. Once again, Spectacle, the nice thing about Gruul is Gruul had Riot. Riot is Haste. A lot of time, Haste is a good thing to get in there. One of the ways you might trigger Spectacle is my opponent they don't leave back a blocker because I have no attackers, and then out of the blue, I hit them with Haste, and now all of a sudden, I'm able to do Spectacle. This is sort of later turns, obviously, since you have to cast both the Haste creature and the Spectacle, though we had a bunch of cheaper Haste creatures to help you do that. And then green was Riot and Adapt. So Rakdos and Simic, both of those, notice, have a +1/+1 counter theme. Riot lets you put a plus one, plus one counter on your creatures. Adapt puts plus one counter on creatures. So we were a lot in green. Green could care about counters. So we could have a counter theme. And in general, that's one of the ideas is when you do these sets, you want to sort of make sure that, because the key in a two-color faction set is, let's say, for example, I am playing, most likely I'm playing one of the factions. So I'm playing, let's say I'm playing Gruul, I'm playing red-green. So really what I do is I have access to three different guilds. I have access to Gruul because I'm playing red and green, so I have access to Riot. But then I have access to Spectacle because Rakdos, half of Rakdos is red, so I can play the red Rakdos things here. And I have access to Adapt because I have green cards and half of Simic is green. And so you can see how, oh, look, there's a little through line that I can get. And then things help me, like you want, that's why you want mechanics to all play sweetly together. And it's one of the reasons that faction sets are so hard to do, because you have to, every ally, every shard sort of mechanics. So every mechanic and its two allies, those three mechanics can be played together. And the other thing that can happen is sometimes, you know, you can splash an additional color. So anyway, you can get a lot of factions in. One of the challenges, by the way, back then, and something that it's taken us a lot of time, in fact, we're still learning it, is how to give people access to play more than one color, but not play more than two. And one of the things that is very true in playing Ravnica sets is, we do build it in how you could build three. So we do make combinations saying, oh, well, if you're playing Rakdos and Gruul together, you're playing black, red, green. And so we do build threes trying to do that. We try to be careful not to let you get too easily into the fourth and fifth color. We do let you sort of get into the third color. But that's one of the ongoing challenges of multicolor. Anyway, Ravnica, I think Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance, players generally like them. Players like Ravnica sets. They like guild sets. So they went over fine. And I think we did a good job of setting up War of the Spark, where by the time we got to War of the Spark, we had satisfied all the guild desires so that we can sort of focus on telling the story of War of the Spark. But anyway, guys, that, in a nutshell, in a car drive, in a podcast, is Ravnica Allegiance. And so I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. But I'm now at work. So we all know what that means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.